The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals being interviewed and do not necessarily represent those of the Greater Winter Haven Chamber of Commerce. You're listening to It's Happening in the Haven. I'm your host, Brianna Price. Each episode, I get the privilege to speak to the amazing people taking Winter Haven and its surrounding Central Florida area to the next level. We're future-focused, celebrating our entrepreneurial history and leveraging it for our bright future ahead. This podcast is made possible through the generous support of our sponsors who believe in advancing commerce and community here in Winter Haven.
Hey, Winter Haven, it's Anna here. For the next several weeks, you'll be hearing me doing the interviews instead of our lovely host, Bree, while she's out on maternity leave.
Hello, I'm Greg Littleton, President and CEO of Citizens Bank and Trust. As a family-owned community bank, the strong business model developed by our founders has remained solid for over 100 years to work with customers who live and operate within our market. Our employees work closely with customers to get to know each one by name. We support local organizations that provide important programs and services for the betterment of our community. In addition, our team also gives back to local nonprofits by volunteering thousands of hours each year to a variety of organizations. If you're looking for a bank with people who treat you like family, consider you and your financial needs the number one priority, and most of all, provide you stability and commitment for the long haul, then I invite you to stop by any of our conveniently located offices or visit us at citizens-bank.com to learn more. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we're proud to be your bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome, welcome. Today, we're joined by Dr. Mitzi Vargas, founder of Orchid Springs Animal Hospital. We talk about her long career in veterinary medicine, using acupuncture and other Eastern medical practices at the clinic, and much more. Stay tuned. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Vargas.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you and to talk to you. I kind of just want to first start out by asking you to tell us about yourself and how you came to Winter Haven.
Well, I've been a veterinarian for almost 30 years. This is my 29th year, to be
precise. Congratulations. That's exciting.
Yes, and 27 of those 29 in my career have been spent here in Winter Haven.
Wow.
So after two not so great experiences working in Miami, I have met my soon-to-be husband there, and his parents lived here in Winter Haven. And so I've never heard of Winter Haven. I'm telling the truth. In those times, well, there was no iPhone or GPS or anything, so you bought paper maps.
Mm-hmm.
And Winter Haven was not in the map.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I see Winter Garden, all other winters, but no Winter Haven. So, okay, so we'll go in the boonies, I guess. So, but when I came here, it was such a striking difference from Miami and the hustle and the bustle of the big city. And also, you know, I just felt so welcome. I grew up in Puerto Rico. So
okay.
I was born in New York, grew up in Puerto Rico, and in a small town. And so I missed that. I missed the greens and the small town atmosphere. And when I came to Winter Haven, I stopped at Publix and everybody said, hi, honey. And everywhere I go. And I was thinking, do I look like somebody that they know? Or why is everybody being so nice? And it was because this is a small town. And I think that's the biggest asset that we have here is our people here in Winter Haven. Our community is very welcoming. And I felt that. I felt the love 27 years ago, and they stayed. I just came back. It's like, why am I living in Miami? and fighting with traffic and being all upset and stressed out. And so I came here. The community received me with open arms. I started a business knowing very little about business.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I were just the two of us. And it's just grown to over 40 employees and 27 years in business. And, you know, from a 1,500 square foot facility to a 10,200 square facility.
Wow.
So lots of blessing. The hand of the Lord has been with us, and the love of the community has been the catalyst for our growth and our success.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
29 years in business is...
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 27 in business, 29 is a bit. Yeah, but 29 on any field.
Yeah,
you know,
over 25 period is...
Yeah, people go on and get retired. But I feel like as a veterinarian, that is not a profession. It's more of a vocation. So doing what you love, getting, it's a privilege. It's like, do I get paid for doing this too? Gosh, you know, it's great. You know, it's a great bonus to be paid doing what you love every day. And so that's why when I speak to any youth, I just tell them, you know, don't look at a career as to how much money you're going to make out of it, or don't analyze the numbers too much. Mm-hmm. You know, go with your heart. What is it that you love to do, can't get enough of, and then do more of that? Success is guaranteed if you're in that field of doing everything you love. The field of love is the what brings out the miracles of success.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you. Now, kind of on that note, did you always know that you wanted to be a veterinarian?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Since, you know, since I had consciousness, you know, that I was able to see, because I come from a very dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. And so pets, you know, specifically cats, were there for me when the adults in my life were not there for me. So, and they were confidants, and they were best friends. And so from that love and love of nature. So I mentioned that I came from a small town, and my house was in, you know, in a farm. So basically I grew up with, you know, surrounded by nature. And so that always stayed with me. So I always wanted to do that, to help animals in any way I can. And so that's why, you know, it feels like it's something that, you know, I was predestined to do. And so it doesn't feel like a job. So 29 years, is, I say it with not like with an exhausted, cynical view. I would say it with the same joy that I started practicing 29 years ago.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. How many cats did you grow up with?
Oh, too many to count. My mom didn't want cats in the house or anything, so I sneaked them in my room one time, and they were all strays, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, they didn't live long lives over there because, you know, things got them and everything, and I wasn't, you know, in charge of their health and everything. And that's why actually motivated me, like, how can I help them? Mm-hmm. So the intrigue of how do I get these friends to live for a long, long life and live well, you know, well-lived lives from early age. That was a concern of mine. And that's the segue, a good segue to saying why, you know, I'm a veterinarian, but I am integrated practitioner, which means I do Western and Eastern medicine, a lot of alternative modalities that are really valid, effective and valid, but I just like blended them.
Yeah.
And it's all because it's for the benefit of our patients, you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I did see somewhere that you are certified in acupuncture for animals.
Yeah, so I teach acupuncture. I just came from Chi University. This past weekend was the basic acupuncture on-site class, and I teach that, and I teach in Costa Rica and Peru, which I'll be at the end of the month. I'll be in Peru teaching, and it's because I love it so much. I've seen excellent results. And it's like when you know something that is good for a lot of the animals, and your love is to make sure that animals live longer and better lives, then you can just not sit still with that. You know, with that knowledge, you cannot just like hoard it and stay still with it. So I speak in the speaking circuit for acupuncture, and I do the classes because they feel that, you know, that the purpose of continuing and making sure that my colleagues know that there are effective modalities that they can use, that they can add, that it doesn't mean that what they're doing is wrong necessarily. It just means that there are ways and things that they can incorporate. And so if I can teach any of my colleagues, you know, I definitely, you know, go for it. And that's what made this like side hustle of doing teaching that I never, because, you know, I don't know, the life is like that. It throws you all sorts of curveballs. And one of them was I never saw myself as a teacher. And here I am, you know, this would be my 10th year teaching acupuncture.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how did you get into like the acupuncture Eastern kind of medicine side of veterinary?
So there are two stories about that.
Okay.
Because, you know, growing up in the farm, my grandmother, she, you know, if anybody had an ailment, she was sort of like very well-versed in natural remedies. So okay. She would just give us a tea for this or a poultice for that. Or, you know, so I grew up knowing that plants and things can heal you. Mm-hmm. So that was a given. That was like a fact. So that's something that was in my subconscious, right? So when I was in vet school in Alabama, I wasn't never a great large animal practitioner. Okay. Or, you know, you have to take it. You could not take it. I wanted cat, dogs, and pocket pets, ferrets. Give me everything else except horses or cows or anything. And so for the final year, you have to present a case. And now those cases, they are, you know, the teachers and the whole classes are attending those grand rounds, they're called. And so it's a big grade, part of the grade for your rotations. And you have to be clever. You have to get a really good case. And sometimes, you know, it was painful to see people being eviscerated that were not well prepared or didn't, you know, prepare, get a really good case or something like that. Or the management of the case was not what is the standard. And so I thought, how could I just do one on large animal? I don't know. They're going to know I'm a faker. They know.
Yeah.
So my friend and I both were in the same predicament, and we were paired for the program. And we thought, let's do something that nobody knows about. So we were in Alabama. So we went to Georgia and to the racetrack, and we interviewed a doctor, a veterinarian, that treated laminitis and a lot of lameness at the racetrack with acupuncture.
Wow.
And so we were totally impressed. So much so we swore we were going to just be like him, you know, we're going to add that. But of course, life has, you know, all these curves.
Of course.
That I said. So it took me, after I graduated in 1994, it took me until 2009 to really go for it. My friend did it in 2001.
Okay.
And then I was just dragging my feet because I was building the business and raising two daughters and, you know.
You were busy.
Being part of the community. So it was, I was in Junior League. I was in a lot of stuff. So it was, you know, it's just busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so until my dog, Sam, is a German Shepherd that I adopted from the Humane Society. And I adopted him at 7 and he died at 15 for reference.
Oh, wow.
But so it is a long, well-lived life. But he was having problems with his hips. He was older, like 12 or 13, and he was having trouble with his hips. And I tried medication called carprofen, which is for anti-inflammatory, and very rare side effect, but it can cause acute liver necrosis. And it happened, which is failure, acute liver failure. And that's what happened to my dog. It was a couple of dosages, and he just reacted so bad. And I had to do, you know, a lot to try to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And so after we went through the crisis, and I said, you know, what is there that can be a little bit better with less side effects and, you know, that can help the animals? And so I remember, you know, it's one of those things like, wait, you know this answer.
Like the light bulb turns
on. The light bulb is remember that thing that you said a long time ago that you were going to study acupuncture. And I just immediately said, okay, this is it. And I did reconnection energy, which is like Reiki type thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't find it that effective as obviously acupuncture is. And so when I did acupuncture, forget it. It's like I drank the Kool-Aid and that was the end of it.
How often do you do pet acupuncture at the clinic?
Well, it's an unfair question.
Okay, okay.
Because as an integrated practitioner, it is whoever needs it.
Okay. And so it's not like
some cases do come like referred and just for acupuncture.
Okay.
But everything, even a puppy, if I see that a puppy has something called kidney yin deficiency, which means that they're born with congenital defects or congenital insufficiencies.
Yeah.
Then I can immediately start talking to the owner about acupuncture. And acupuncture is four
prong. That's awesome.
It's about food therapy. Food can heal you. And also massage can heal you, can help you heal you. And of course, herbals, Chinese herbals and herbal formulas. So I went back to the plants when I was little. And, you know, I love the herbal formulas that we use. They're safe, they're effective, and it's just a different dimension to treating your pets, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I've never heard of like that kind of integrated medicine in a veterinary clinic.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was actually a veterinarian. We went to his clinic all the time, but he definitely didn't do that.
No, it's a newer thing, but now I think there's over 10,000. To give you a rough thing, there are probably 90-something thousand vets in the United States, and roughly 10,000 in the world have been certified.
That's amazing.
So
there's a specific certification and everything?
Yeah.
Awesome. How long does it take you to get that certification?
It depends, about a year, you know, depends on how much, you know, you're doing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, you kind of mentioned that your business has been around for 27 years. So that means it opened in 1996.
Yes.
What made you decide to open your own clinic?
Well, it was honestly the bad experience of the first two jobs.
Okay.
So in life, we see, you know, adversity sometimes, you know, why me? Why this happened to me? Why couldn't I get the best perfect job the first time? Or the second time, it was worse. So it's like, is it me or is it the environment? What is it? And so I was complaining to my husband. It's like, this is not what I believed when I went for vet school. I wanted to have a community, you know, the community veterinarian, you know, be a very positive and, you know, culture in the environment and just, you know, serve. You know, I wanted to serve, and I didn't like all the other ways that businesses were being run.
Yeah.
And so my husband says, well, why don't we, if you have the vision of what it should be, why don't we just do it? And he was a computer software guy, and he quit his job, he sold his house and put all of it into the business, and we would get married, and so we put everything, every penny that we own, we put it into just making this vision of what a well managed practice and a well, you know, like a center, a hub of the community with their pets should be. Like a one-stop wellness center for pets. And that was my vision there then and still is.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. What has it been like to do business in Winter Haven?
It's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, you know, it's amazing the growth that we've had and the understanding, because sometimes, you know, we, like anybody, make some mistakes in the business aspect. But because our community is so supportive, and because the at least when I started, the cost of life here was so much cheaper than living in the big city, I was able to do the things that I, you know, that I did just because of that, because the cost of life. You know, I see Winter Haven growing tremendously in the past 10 years, and more specific since COVID.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
And I just hope that we don't lose that, the charming aspect of being still the small town, the neighbors knowing each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that community outreach programs and activities that continue, and, you know, that we can just be more cohesive, you know.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm getting? Like,
yeah. You want to keep that, like that quaintness.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because it is. It's a beautiful place. You know, 144 lakes, you know, a lot of nature.
Mm-hmm.
We need to preserve the nature, and we need to, you know, preserve that way of life, which is, you know, respectful of nature. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's
and
just
of each other.
Of each other,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you said mentioned that you guys have grown to 40 employees.
We are like 44 now.
44. Mm-hmm. And you've grown to 10,000 square foot facility.
Yeah, it was two incarnations. Yeah.
Okay.
The first one, then we bought a place right next to, it was a discarded acre and a half from the nursing home right next
to
us. They didn't want it. And so they sold it pretty cheap at that time time. And then we just built a 5,000 square foot facility, never thinking in my life that I would outgrow it. 5 years later, I'm running out of space.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And so then I had to do something. In 2008, we expanded. And that was it, you know, because I I don't want anything to do with expansion or anything. So yeah. We just have to make do.
Exactly. Can you talk a little bit about what those expansions like offered for your clients?
Yeah. So, well, you know, a lot of it is efficiency because more exam rooms means that the people don't wait that long and they get seen more often. So we went from 3 exam rooms or 4 exam rooms to 11.
Wow.
So, you know, so that's, you know, helping a lot. Or actually that was, three incarnations, because one was like an internal remodel that we did in COVID.
Okay.
COVID. And so that went from 3 exam rooms to 11. And then just boarding, we have really luxury boarding, and we have groomers too. So we have space for them. So it was just more like offering services, like more services and convenience for our clients.
Kind of like a one-stop shop.
Exactly. That was the vision always.
Awesome. Now, I'm imagining that you're not the only veterinarian at your office.
No. We just, I'm glad that this podcast is opportunity presented, because I wanted to say that to our people that are listening, to our fellow Winter Havians. We did hire 2 more veterinarians. We have a Dr. Farrar, which been with me for about four years, and she does integrated medicine too.
Okay.
And then I have Dr. Moisa, who I know since she was a client, then a volunteer, then a summer technician, and then she graduated from vet school and joined our practice since day one. And she's a blessing to us, Dr. Moisa. And she is been with me for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Hood, who is a good friend and has been with me since 2007, really, as well, on and off with me. And so she does part-time with me. And so now we're joined by Dr. Vareb, which is comes highly recommended. She's a very smart lady, and she is a cardiology intern. So she did, she wanted to go the track of cardiology. So she did an internship and I think 1 year of residency. And then she decided the GPs have all the fun. So she wanted to come to us. And so, so she's interested also in integrating.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, obviously she will start from that. And then a newly graduate, Dr. Gisela Rosado, and she just graduated this year. And so she's starting her journey with us. And so we're very happy. So that puts us at 6 doctors.
Wow. Congratulations.
So yeah, from 1 doctor to 6.
And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so most of them are integrated as well, but are some of the new ones going to eventually get there as well?
Yeah, they will. And even Dr. Moisa and Dr. Hood, they don't have the certifications, but by osmosis and by seeing what works and by, you know, by being internally, you know, with me, you know, revising things, and they learned a lot. And so they can really handle a lot of things with herbs.
Awesome. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. We'd like to welcome and thank Advent Health for sponsoring Season 7 of our podcast.
Hi, my name is Dr. Paul Williams. I'm a physician with Advent Health. I treat patients with a variety of breast disorders and offer screening services for those without breast problems. At Advent Health Medical Group Mammography at Davenport, patient care is our top priority. That's why our office now offers a new mammography experience using 3D Genius mammography exam and the Brevera breast biopsy system. They offer earlier detection and a faster, less invasive process to complete mammograms and breast biopsies. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 863-421-7276.
Now, you mentioned that one of them started as a volunteer. Are there volunteering opportunities at your clinic?
Yeah, we do have. We work with the technician school here in town.
Okay.
Well, anyways, sorry for the ones that are here, but we do. So we have them, the CVA program that is in town, we have them come in and do the hours with us.
Okay.
So that's really great for them and for us. And then our facility has externships available for, we have, 10 vet schools that send their vet veterinarians to us, the third year and fourth year students, to rotate on clinical practice with us. And then we have the Chi University where I teach. They do send students to complete the hours to us too. So
awesome.
It is not unusual for our clients to see multiple vets that are visiting or teaching. And so it's a wonderful thing for me. You know, I didn't know that I had got it in me to be a teacher, but I really love being able to share what I know and helping other people in their journeys as veterinarians. I hope they are all well-rounded, you know, and the technicians too. So we try to give them an idea of what a, you know, well-run, good culture, you know, positive mm-hmm. culture is, so that they see what they can compare, you know, when they're looking for a job and,
for sure.
and everything. And some people have actually, you know, found jobs with us, but, you know, it's not the purpose. The purpose is to really, you know, spread it and mm-hmm. and help.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, the 10 schools that you have externship opportunities with, are they all in Florida? Are they spread throughout the country?
There's 29 vet schools in the, 30 vet schools in the country, and about 10 of them, you know, we are in the system where you can pair with externs.
Awesome.
And so, you know, Auburn, you know, University in Alabama, Tuskegee University in Alabama. We get from Mississippi. We get from Tennessee and the Lincoln Memorial in Tennessee. So private and public of Tennessee. And we have, you know, UF.
Yeah.
University of Florida. You know, there's a lot of universities that send their people to us.
That's
Oklahoma
awesome.
Oklahoma State. So they send us some techs and, I mean, veterinary students, and, you know, they get to see the real life, you know.
About how long do they stay with you guys?
So it depends on the school. Some schools, we've had them for a whole month. We've had them for a week. We've had them for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So
that's
it
awesome.
Depends.
That those people are coming from all over the place.
Yes, I love it.
To come learn with you.
And I love people too. You know, mm-hmm. I'm a veterinarian, and a lot of veterinarians are vets because they don't really like people. But I'm the opposite. I really love people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Now, I know that you, that Orchid Springs is an AAHA accredited hospital. What does that mean?
Yeah, the American Animal Hospital Association has been in for many, many years, almost 50 years or 100 years, I think. Anyway, so it's been a while. So I definitely, when I first opened my practice, I wanted to be the best I could be. And I wanted to know what are the standards. Mm-hmm. What is the standard of what I need to do to be good? And can I go above it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I meet it or go above it? And so that's what they do. They set the standards for best practices, the best medicine. And so you measure, you have to go much like a human hospital. They mm-hmm. have different accreditations. So they come and they inspect your protocols, your procedures. They inspect your facilities. They inspect everything, the kind of medicine that you practice. And then you either are with them or you're not with them, right? And so they have a scale of, you know, how good you do, and so you can always get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so last time we scored one of the highest that they've gotten.
Wow.
So I was very proud. And every 3 years they come and we go through a process of redust, you know, because you know, learning is never static, it's dynamic. And so the older you get, the more you see a case, you might be a little bit lackadaisical,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you were going to be like, well, I'm a little lazy in my thinking. I'm going to think that, if it happened 40 times before and they went this way, then that's what's going to happen. And
yeah.
that's the dangerous zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really look at every case like with new eyes, and because every case is different. And in integrative medicine, there's, you know, the cookie system doesn't work because there's no dogs and cats are not cookies. So don't do that. Just look at every case with new eyes and how you can manage that case to the best of the abilities and the best options that offer the best options for the clients. And so that to me, meeting that standard, and we met the standard a long time ago. I think mm-hmm. we've been accredited since 1998.
Wow. And so, that was only 2 years after. Yeah, wow.
Because I wanted to do it. I took their booklet of what they did and I tried to be like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my model of when I developed all the protocols, and when I did, I used their information mm-hmm. that they have freely available out there. And so I just wanted to be at that level from the beginning. And so that, I think, is part of our success as a business, is because of that, because we never take for granted mm-hmm. that we're doing everything right. We're constantly, you know, checking and trying to improve and trying to see, okay, we do this good, mm-hmm. but can we be better?
Yeah.
And I think that in any business, if you have that mentality of constant and never-ending improvement, that you will be successful.
So another kind of special thing about your hospital is that you have the We Love Pet Fund. And that is specifically to benefit animals who are in need that don't necessarily have the funds for proper medical care. How did you come up with that? How did that come into fruition?
Well, what happens is a lot of the pets, they're in limbo, like the strays, because mm-hmm. the Polk County Animal Services, they do a great job with our county, but our county is still one of the top kill counties in the mm-hmm. nation, and we have the overpopulation, one of the worst in Florida. So we're definitely trying to work against a big situation here. Since day one I moved here, I paired up with the Humane Society. So I've been working with them. I'm part of the board of the Humane Society. But there is a little gap of time when if you find a stray, if you take them to animal services, they give them, you know, 72 hours. And mm-hmm. then after that, they can put them to sleep if nobody comes forth. And the Humane Society will not accept strays. They have to be fed or water or known by somebody.
Yes.
And I think their minimum is 10 days. So there's this little gap there if you don't. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our clients will bring us some strays, injured wildlife or strays, and we try to help them. But over time, you know, there's some costs associated with that, even if you discount everything, even if I don't charge for my time or mm-hmm. anything like that. And so we decided to just open it up and fundraise, and we do. Over the years, we've done bake sales and you know, garage sales. Mm-hmm. And we were very, very grateful to some of our clients that actually in their work for Disney. And Disney allows their employees to get some volunteers hours and get paid for it to their charity. And mm-hmm. so several of our clients selected us as a charity.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're under the umbrella of, you know, a different, you know, a different bigger national organization, but we have like our little under their umbrella, but we have our own account. And so we were selected by Disney, and some years they gave us very, very good donations, and they have kept us afloat. And that way we can help. We can help in cases sometimes with the Humane Society mm-hmm. too. They have something called the Second Chance Fund, and they have a little bit of money available for some cases that could be cured. But unfortunately, yeah. you know, the owners don't have the means. And so with the We Love Care Pets Fund, we can, you know, join those two funds and provide care to some very sick patients that otherwise would die.
Yeah.
And but they are fixable things, but, you know, you have to treat
them. Oh, for sure. For sure.
So, you know, that's a very near and dear to my heart to actually help the strays, you know. And so I donate my time to the Humane Society. I go there and spay and neuter, you know, and anything that they need, I'm always there, you know, for them and for the strays.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We actually did find a dog last year sometime. We named him Boomer. He found a home that isn't me. He was with me for like 10 days. But he had heartworms, and that we think he got dumped because of it.
Yeah.
Because it's treatable, but it's very expensive. Yeah. So,
and if I have the opportunity to use this media to say, please spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah.
Do not let them have babies, and be a responsible pet mm-hmm. owner. Do not dump animals. Do not dump exotic animals
yeah.
and mess our ecosystem in Florida. And do not mess the poor dogs and cats' life by letting them outside mm-hmm. to fend for themselves. So
yeah.
I know we can do better.
Yeah.
So as a you know, as a country, as a town, and as a state, you know, we need to improve in that.
If someone wanted to support that fund, how would they do that?
So they can call the office and they can donate over the phone at 863-324-6964, or they can go to, we can send them a link to the umbrella of the foundation that we're part of, and under that umbrella, and they can select our practice. And if they ask us, if they call the office, they can just ask for the link, or, you know, they can donate on the phone. And those funds are 100% going to the animals. So we, you know, everything is volunteered and it just goes to costs of treatment.
Awesome. Well, I have one more question for you before we go. You also have a podcast yourself,
oh, yes,
produced by ours truly, Joe Sifschaller. Mm-hmm. I call him Joe. So how did you get into that, and where can people find those episodes?
So I published a book called I'll Vet, The Revolutionary Pet, Care. So it's a book that is, and I did the book and the same way that the podcast, just to spread the information. I am sitting on this wealth of information that can help pets, and mm-hmm. how can I distribute it? How can people give it? And it's freely given, right? Well, the book is not, but the book actually funds the We Love Pet Fund.
Oh, awesome.
So that's why when they buy a book, they're feeding one pet or helping me get a pet. And the podcast came from the same idea. So a lot of people ask me a lot of questions. And when I tell them something, or when I help with their pets with acupuncture or chiropractic, I'm also a chiropractor for animals. So when I do a chiropractic adjustment, or I do acupuncture, or I do send them on an herb or a formula, and they just have a lot of questions. They never heard that. You know, they want to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, well, okay, we'll just put the podcast and kind of spread the awareness. So it really just is an attempt to spread awareness that there are alternatives, that sometimes euthanasia, putting the pet down, is not the only option.
Yeah.
There are other options, and that maybe people will be surprised that, how the pets can live longer lives and healthier lives by using, you know, something as simple as acupuncture or an herb or some supplement or something. And so that's why I try to raise awareness, mm-hmm. and just discuss topics that are, that could be handled with integrated medicine, and, you know, or topics that are of interest in the moment, and my view as an integrated practitioner, mm-hmm. of that topic or that problem that is happening. So,
yeah. Awesome. So where can we find these episodes? Because they're also video too, correct?
Yeah. So you can go in the YouTube, you can Google Mitzi Vargas, and MITSIE Vargas, as in Victor, ARGAS, and you can find them my YouTube channel, and they're all in the neat little package. There's also a lot of videos of cases and,
awesome.
And the results of cases. And of course, all the platforms, Spotify has it, Anchor, all of the other platforms for podcasts. We are, I think, Joe done a good job putting me in everywhere. So we're like the right rise everywhere. So you can just find us, and we have over 150 episodes.
Wow.
So there's a lot of information out there. You know, if your pet's having a particular problem, look up. Maybe there's a podcast about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be on our podcast. We super appreciate you. And I found this very fascinating. So thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And to everyone listening, remember, the Pet Healer is a good podcast.
Yes.
Go look it up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Take care.
The Low Payment Kings at the Mahalik Auto Group are very proud and excited to be sponsoring another season of the Winter Haven Chamber Podcast. Hi, it's Ralph Mahalik Jr., the Low Payment King. I just want to remind everybody that the Low Payment Kings are four stores here in Polk County: Alfa Romeo Fiat of Winter Haven, Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Winter Haven, Lake Wales Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and Posner Park Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Fiat. And we look forward to serving you and saving you more here in 2023. We have 1,700 vehicles in stock and incoming, so we can get you satisfied today or in the near future. We're very proud of our five-star team and all the clients that we've satisfied in 2022 and over the last 57 years with the Lopim & Kings Mahalik Auto Group. We look forward to satisfying you soon, too, in all departments. New and used vehicle sales, service, parts, maintenance, recalls, body shop, collision center, and a whole lot more. We're proud of all the community work we do with various charities and community events throughout Polk County. And the Lopim & Kings are very proud to be part of the fastest growing county in the state of Florida. That's Polk County. When you have time, please like us on all our social media pages and check out lowpaymentkings.com, where you can get pre-approved for your car, truck, van, or SUV, schedule a service appointment, look at our career opportunities at all of our stores, and even get pre-approved for your loan or lease. Again, visit lowpaymentkings.com, call us toll-free soon, and like us on all our social media. God bless you and your family, and I wish you everyone the best of luck in 2023.
Thank you again to Dr. Mitzi Vargas for joining us on today's episode. Be sure to tune in every week to It's Happening in the Haven, available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. To learn more about Winter Haven and the Chamber, visit winterhavenchamber.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We hope you've learned a little bit about our community today and even more about the people who are shaping its future. After all, no true community exists without the people who form it. Winter Haven. Some call it a haven, we call it home.